First Peter chapter 3 this morning. First Peter chapter 3. Good to see everyone in church. Hope everyone's had a good week. Been busy week, but a good week. Praise the Lord, we're here and able to go to church today. Today I want to talk about how do I find God's will for my life? You know, that's a question that probably if you've been saved for any amount of time that you've asked yourself. A lot of times we don't necessarily ask the Lord, which we should, but you know, when God saves us, He doesn't just save us just to sin. Everybody understand that? He saves us for a purpose. God has a purpose for every man, woman, boy, and girl that comes to know Christ, and that ultimate purpose is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But what is God's will for my life? Well, there are two aspects to the will of God. He has a permissive will, and then He has a directive will. The will of God is not physical, but spiritual. Understand that. It is never connected with a set of man-made rules, a geographical location, or a self-appointed ministry. The will of God is not to be confused with the plan of God for your life. God has a specific plan for your life individually. That plan is the specific direction God will give an individual or in individual circumstances of your life. The permissive will of God, it must be clearly understood that God occasionally allows things to happen He does not necessarily approve of in order to accomplish some larger purpose. If you've ever read your Bible, and we all say if it's the will of God, it'll happen. Well, truly, we know that God has the power to stop anything. Would everybody agree with that? I mean, we've seen Him do great and mighty things in just my 34 years being alive. I could tell you story after story after story. Hey, that was God. That was God. That was God. God has the ability to do anything He wants to do. So He does allow certain things to happen in life sometimes to bring us closer to Him. Look at Joseph. We went through his life. You know, it wasn't necessarily fair to Joseph that he was the father's favorite, and then he had to go into the pit, and then into the palace, and then into prison, be separated from his family. That wasn't very favorable for Joseph, but it ultimately got him closer to his God. It got him closer to God. And I think today we should start looking a lot closer at the little things in life that happen, and maybe it's an opportunity for us to get closer to our Heavenly Father. I know that some things have happened in my life that while I was going through them, I was begging God, can you please take this away? And I knew in the back of my mind, Brother Travis, that God could have taken that situation away from me. But looking back, I wouldn't trade anything for those times. Because what God wanted was to show me, hey, you're not as close to me as you should be. So sometimes I have to lure you closer. And sometimes it takes tragedy. Sometimes it takes heartache. Sometimes it takes pain. Sometimes it takes separation. Sometimes it just takes things that are out of our control for us to look up. Think about how busy we get in life and how days just come and they go. I mean, it seems like yesterday we were just right here in church. And it was 5 days ago. How much has happened in 5 days? How much time have I spent with God in those 5 days? Life happens quick. And listen, God desires a relationship with His people. Everybody okay with that? God desires a relationship with His chosen people, with Christians, with believers. Occasionally things happen in a Christian's life which do not appear to be good. How many would say, I've had things happen in my life that weren't good, that you could not control? But you know what is good in every situation? God. God is still good. When the waves roll high, they're singing that song this morning. I'm excited to hear it. Listen, God's goodness doesn't change based on our circumstance in life. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. God will allow suffering in the lives of His children to perfect them, although He would prefer that they did not have to suffer. You know what could cause a little less suffering in a Christian's life? Starts with an O, obedience. But how often do we fail to just simply obey God? However, the Bible teaches we ought to obey God rather than man, doesn't it? But it's so easy to get caught up. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible reads, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." But then it goes on to say this, having a good conscience. How can I, as a man of God, we're all men in here this morning, how can I, as a man of God, have a good conscience in my everyday walk with Jesus Christ? Well, it's like having a good conscience in your marriage. You know how you can have a good conscience in your marriage? Be faithful to your wife. A man that's unfaithful to his wife is not going to have a good conscience. Why? Because cheating is wrong, isn't it? Hey, a man that's not faithful in his home is not going to have a good conscience. A man that's a terrible father, that's doing things contrary to the way God allowed or instructed him to raise his children, is not going to have a good conscience about it. Now, we all have messed up and we have regrets, but look, we're not going to live in those regrets. We're not going to live in the past. How can I have a good conscience as a believer? I can follow God's instruction manual. Every day I have instructions. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We just sang it this morning. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. We're instructed to have a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Hey, you know, the Bible teaches us to be blameless. There should never be a time, and look, it's going to happen because we're not perfect yet. Now, one day we'll be perfect, but right now we're not. But there should never be an occasion where a brother or a sister has an ought against you that they can prove you wrong. You should strive to be blameless. The evil accusers should be ashamed of accusing you. Why? Because it should be lies. We should be blameless. Verse 17 says this, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." You know what God's saying here? You will suffer for the cause of Christ. But look, we're not martyrs, are we? We're not going to die for what we believe in America. Probably not going to happen. Now, I know men personally that are no longer with us today because they chose to be a missionary in the will of God in Baghdad, Iraq. You say, "I'd never do that." Well, no, because you're not close enough to God. But he did. Took his wife and two daughters into Baghdad, Iraq. Why? Because that's where the will and plan of God was for his life. He understood that he was safer in Baghdad than he was in North Carolina. Y'all with me this morning? He was safer in Baghdad. Why? Because that's what God wanted him to do. He died a martyr in Baghdad, Iraq, at the hands of evil people. But he died with a smile on his face and a bullet hole in his chest. You know why he died with a smile? Because heaven was coming. Jesus was right there. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I am with thee." Hey, even in death, Jesus Christ is with us. Do you know that? That is amazing that we have a God like that. That is amazing. Verse 18 says this, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, and that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Hey, sometimes things are going to happen. Look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Things are out of our control. How many of you came to realize that? We really don't control much, do we? That message was preached a couple weeks ago. I'm telling you, that was perfect timing for me. The burdens and the cares. We're supposed to be casting our cares on Jesus. And we're supposed to be bearing our burdens. Some things are just out of our control. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6 through 10 says this, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me as thorn in the flesh, the messenger of, what's that next word, church? Satan, to buffet me. In other words, there was somebody there always poking at his side. Always a messenger of Satan trying to stop Paul. Why? Because that's Satan's job. Everybody understand that? Look, we're not going to get through this life untouched. But you know what you can get through the life? Unfazed. Y'all with me? It's a choice to react. And it's also a choice to submit. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. Folks, he has no choice when we submit to God. In the name of Jesus. There's no power there now. The Satan cannot come through the blood. Everybody understand that? He can't. There's power there. There's power there. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, Paul said. And he said unto me, my grace is what? Sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, one verse before he was telling us, I begged God to take this from me. The next verse he said, I'm glorying in my infirmities. Why? Because the power of God is coming out. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. God allows men to make their own choices in life. Do you guys know that God does not make you do anything? He allows you to make good choices, and he allows you to make bad choices, doesn't he? A couple of examples here. Go to the book of Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. See, God wants us to grow and learn to make our own choices. It's just like raising kids. We can't always be there to make their decisions for them, can we? It's just not going to happen. But what we want is them to learn from their mistakes and learn to make good decisions on their own. Something I always try to tell my kids, and Lord knows, they're going to mess up. I messed up, but something that was always preached to me is, hey, do right when no one's looking. Wouldn't that be great if the world just did right when no one was looking? I'm sure you've said that to your children before. You know what God wants us to do? Do right when no one's looking. He's always looking, by the way. He's an omnipresent God. He's everywhere all the time. But when no one down here is looking, do right. Do right. Why? Because I'm a believer. Because I'm sanctified, blood bought, born again, different from the world. A new creature created in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's why I'm going to do right. Because I'm supposed to do right. Paul's trip to Jerusalem. Look, it's the God wanted him three times, or warned him three times not to go, but then allowed him to go to teach him obedience. Look at the book of Acts 21, verse number 4. The Bible says this, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go. Through the Spirit, that's a capital S. The Holy Spirit told Paul, do not go to Jerusalem. What did he do? And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. How often do we do that? When God says, hey, and by the way, do you know you're never going to have a chance to say, well, God, you confused me. Now, I got some Bible to back up that God will never confuse you. He's not the author of what? Confusion. So if you're confused, who is it? Amen. It's the devil. God is a sovereign God. He's a holy God. He's a right now God. Listen, he's an on time God. He's never going to confuse you. Know when it's God, and you will know when it's right. Why? Because also, else you being saved, the Holy Spirit that discerns good and evil. God is not the author of confusion. When we took our leave, verse 6, one of another we took ship, and they returned. When we had we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip and abode with him, and the same man there came down a prophet named Agabus, and when he was and bound his own hand and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews in Jerusalem bind the man the girdle, hands of the Gentiles. Now, how many of you want to be in that situation to be in, don't it? Take your girdle off, and I'm going to bound your hand. Then we're going to deliver you to the Gentiles. Hey, who told him not to go here? Again, you can choose your choices. But you don't get to choose your consequence. Or if God would have said, okay, Paul, listen, if you go there, they're going to take your girdle, they're going to bind your hands and feet with your girdle and turn you over to the crowd. Now, how many would have went then? Not a single one of us. Why? Because we knew the consequence. But what about just obeying God? Why can't just being obedient to God be good enough? Because we have flesh. We have a sin nature. What about Hitler? How many remember Adolf Hitler? Everybody knows Hitler, right? Hey, God did not approve of him murdering 6 million of his chosen people, but allowed it as the beginning of the restoration of the Jews. Y'all with me? Prophecy. And to return to their homeland. Man has a free will. God will not force anyone to do anything. God offers salvation and lays down the principles for a godly life. But if a man exercises the free will of God, or the free will God has given him and rejects salvation, God permits that man's free will to be exercised and the man suffers the consequences. Look at the book of Galatians chapter 6. So we got to understand, bad choices produce consequences. Galatians 6, 7. The Bible says this, be not deceived. God is not what, church? Mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So what is the directive will of God? Well, there are certain things God specifically wills. 2 Peter 3:9, we can see that God is not willing that any should perish. How many know that God does not want a single individual to die and go to hell? And look, I'm talking about from the prison bars, to the courthouse, to the Supreme Court, to the White House, to our senators, our congressmen, the murderers, the molesters, the rapists. Y'all with me? God does not want any of them to die and go to hell. So, if that's what God willed, let me ask you this, as an individual, as a man, what is your will for other people? You say, well, I don't want nobody to die and go to hell. What are you doing about that? See, God uses men and women to get his will done. Y'all with me? If we're really about the will of God, we're going to be about giving the gospel. Man, we sat yesterday and my wife came to me about 1 or 2 o'clock and she sat and she said, Drew, she said, I've literally been sitting for 4 hours, but I've given the gospel to 2 kids in the last 4 hours. I said, what an amazing thing. One boy came and told her that he had to check into a little institution and he had written a suicide note and was going to take his own life. And she said, the Lord told me to ask him, what would have happened to you if you would have done that? And he said, I don't know. She laid the gospel out. Another young lady sat there with my wife. They're all just watching games, bored as can be, sitting there. But, hey, God opened an opportunity, gave this young lady the gospel. I don't know if they got saved. I'd love to tell you they did, but here's what I know. The seed's been planted. Y'all with me? Sat down there at the baseball field. And this blessed my heart. Look, it's very rare that someone asked me, this happened to me yesterday, and hasn't happened to me in a long time. Now, this man, and he said, I know you're a pastor, and I believe you're born again. He said, but won't you tell me when you got born again? I said, I'm supposed to be asking you this question. He said, I'll tell you mine after you tell me yours. I said, it almost hurt a little bit because, honestly, I can't think of very many times in 34 years that someone's asked me, am I saved? Tell me how you know. Hey, you know, just because I'm a preacher, that don't mean I'm going to heaven. Does it? Y'all with me? You know what he wanted to know? He wanted to know how I knew that I was going to heaven. From the Bible. And man, it was so neat to share my testimony with him. He shared his with me, and he told me, he said, God called me to preach in 2015. He said, the first Sunday I preached was Father's Day in 2015. And Lord saved him out of an alcoholic life. He said, the first Sunday he preached was Father's Day, 2015. He went in, and the church was just an old Pentecostal church, and he said, well, I'm not Pentecostal, but I got asked to preach, and God told me to preach, and I'm going to do it. And he said, I'm going to have an altar call. He said, the very first time I preached, my son walked the aisle and gave his life to Christ. Hey, I coached that boy in football and baseball. Hey, what a testimony. You know, that's what this thing's all about. Why can't we have more good conversations like that? Why? Because God's not that important to us. We're just too busy. So, if it's really our will that nobody dies and goes to hell, what are we doing about it? When's the last time you just looked at your spouse and said, honey, tell me how you know that you're saved? Because you know, the devils believe in God. Everybody know that? When's the last time you looked at your children, your grandchildren? Hey, if they die, they're going somewhere. I'm sure that it wasn't planned in that young girl's life to be under an ATV last week and step off into eternity. I'm sure that wasn't planned. Nobody plans that stuff. But when's the last time you sat your little kids down and said, hey, tell me how you know? It's not God's will that they perish. It shouldn't be yours either. Tell me how you know. How sad would it be to be married to your spouse for 50 or 60 years, assuming they're saved, but have never really asked them, and then get to heaven and they're not there? Because they thought. Hey, as a man thinketh, so is he. People sit in church and die and go to hell every day. Y'all with me? Folks, we got to start caring more about people. It shouldn't be that people are coming to the preacher asking him about his testimony. It should be that the preacher's going to them. It should be that we as believers, hey, he's doing his job. He's a believer. He cared about my soul. And I'm thankful for it. Well, how much do you care? All lost people are out of the will of God, regardless of what else they may do. You know why? Because they're lost. God is not willing that any should perish. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, what else is the will of God, the directive will of God? Well, it's God's will that we give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God concerning you. When's the last time you gave thanks to God for anything? Don't worry about everything. I'm talking about anything. You know, I caught myself the other day, and I felt terrible. This is how busy I got. Caught myself the other day, I sat down, I was eating, and Carolina said, Dad, nobody prayed. I said, do you want to pray? Felt terrible. My mouth's full. I'm just in a hurry. She said, I'll pray, Dad. Hey, she's four. She's four! We're all adults. So how'd you forget that? Same way you do. Got busy. Got busy. But you know what else I got? I got convicted. Because my 4-year-old daughter cared more about giving thanks than I did. That's pretty convicting, isn't it? Don't you wish we all had childlike faith? 1 Peter 2, 13 through 15, you know, the directive will of God is that we submit to every ordinance of man. However, this must be balanced by this. We're not submitting to them and being different from God. Hey, we submit to them because God told us to submit to them, but never to get out of the will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Submission to the ordinances of man is to maintain a proper testimony to win them. To maintain a testimony to win them. While at the same time, your life is to be transformed to live by a higher standard to please God. Why should we live by a higher standard? Why are you always talking about being different? Because God said so. God said so. He said, you're sanctified. That means we're set apart. Listen, when you die, you're going to heaven if you're saved, whether you like it or not. And you will not be like them anymore. Here, we should practice being like that. There's no reason. You shouldn't have a desire to sin. You have the Holy Ghost of God living in you. Hates sin. Hates sin. You should not desire sin. God desires our sanctification. Hey, how many of you are dads in here? Raise your hand. Listen. Do you desire your sons and your daughters and your grandkids to be different from everybody else? Or do you desire them to just fit in and do whatever? It don't matter the outcome. Not any of you are going to say, hey, go be like them. How many of you want your sons to be drunks? I don't. How many of you want your daughters to be prostitutes? I don't. How many of you want your sons to serve God? How many want to see your sons raise your grandkids to serve God? How many want your daughters to marry good men that are going to take care of her? Hey, well, you better raise her like that. Don't let her run off with 5 or 6 or 8 guys while she's in school. Don't do it. Don't do it. Protect her heart. Hey, she belongs to God first. Then you. Hey, I want my daughter to marry right. I want her to marry a man that's going to honor her. And by the way, here's a good example for you. Watch how the young man treats his mother. If he don't love and honor his mother, he will not love and honor her. Y'all with me? Hello? And watch how the young girl treats her daddy. Hey, daddy, you should be the picture of what your daughter wants to marry. You should become that man. Make that standard high for her. When she looks at him and she says, you don't even come close to comparing to my daddy. You shake her hand and say, good job, baby. Next. Y'all with me? Hey, God desires us to be separate. We should desire to be separate. We should desire sanctification. Our service is to be from the heart with pure motives as if we are serving Jesus Christ. By the way, we are. Y'all with me? That's really who this is about anyway. We are to redeem the time. Look, here's something that we all got to stop doing. Quit wasting time. Quit wasting time. Make use of the small amount God has given you. You know, the Bible teaches that life is but a what? Vapor. Well, that verse became real to me about 6 years ago. We were at a camp up in Alaska, and the preacher brought in like an aerosol can. I'm like, what are you doing with aerosol? You know, what are you going to do with that? He's like, well, it's an illustration. And he preached on the importance of time. And he pulled that thing out, and he sprayed that thing, and he said, how many of y'all saw that? Most people said, saw what? Well, if you pay attention, there's a little vapor that comes out of there. But just like that, it's what? It's gone. It's not there. You don't see it floating through the air, taking its time. It's there, and it's gone. Do you know your life is like that? It's but a what? A vapor. One day we're here. One day we're gone. Here's the reality. We don't know when that time's going to end. How many of us are wasting time? Don't raise your hands. I'll raise my hand. I waste time. Valuable time. I'm talking about time that you could be spending seeing people one to the Lord. Everything you do should be a ministry to you. Everywhere you go, every conversation you... Listen, we're so close to the end of this thing, I believe. I don't think it's today. I don't know. But I know this. Things are lining up for another war. Y'all with me? It's lining up. It's coming. Coming quick. Probably in our lifetime. But I don't know when Jesus is coming. But if it were today, I'd have an awful lot of family in hell. Y'all with me? An awful lot of family that would be left here in a tribulation period. Y'all with me? See, Jesus is coming back. And those that are saved are going to go with him. Y'all with me? But everybody else is going to stay right here. And you talk about persecution and suffering. How many would like to look from heaven and see your loved ones knowing they're never going to see heaven except for at the judgment, and then they'll be gone? That's a bad thought, isn't it? Hey, it don't have to be like that. But what are you doing to avoid that? Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your will. Lord, thank you for your direction in our lives. God, I pray that every man here will take a challenge, God, and Holy Spirit, may you convict us, God, to be more serious with our time and, Lord, our talents, our treasures that you've given us. And, Lord, may we consider that life is but a vapor. And, God, it's here and it's gone. And, Lord, I just pray, God, that, Lord, if we know someone lost, especially in our family, our families, God, I couldn't imagine spending eternity without my family. Lord, I pray, God, that we'll be serious about that. And, Lord, we'll take the challenge and understand that your will is that they not perish, Lord. May that be our will. But, Lord, if that's our will, we're going to get busy doing something about it. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.